Thank you, Ben. This morning, we are going to look at trusting in the Lord. And how many of you have heard those words? Trust me. Any of you heard those words before? Just trust me, right? And how many of you in the past have gone through the experience of knowing that those words don't always mean the same thing, right? Somebody says, trust you and trust me, and what's happened? What's happened to us? We've been set up for failure. We've been set up for discouragement and even frustration. We've had trust within the family circle. We have had trust in, so to speak, government. We've had trust in church leadership. We've had trust with the local mailman. And we've had trust in all kinds of facets in life. But let's look at this verse together again today. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, again, fret not thyself because of evildoers. It's kind of an interesting word there. You've heard that said a lot lately in the last few years. President George Bush says, we're not going to take this from evildoers anymore. Evildoers in our world. What are evildoers? Well, let's read on here. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. What do you mean? Don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. Well, notice what the Bible says, verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Well, the Bible's encouraging here. You know, it's interesting. We go about through life. It's kind of like the story of the men that went out early in the morning to find somebody to work in the master's vineyard. And while they were out, some came at 7 o'clock in the morning and some came at 6 o'clock in the evening. And the master came out and paid each and every single one the same exact amount. Some were upset. They said, what's going on here? We've been working for you all day and now you pay these guys the same amount. You know, they've only worked for you for a half an hour. And by all means, you paid them first. What's going on here? Well, it's kind of like us sometimes as Christians. We survey the land, we survey those, the Smiths or the Joneses that live next door to us. They don't go to church, they don't pay tithe, they don't care about Christianity, and it seems like their wealth just continues to prosper and they have all their needs in the world. Well, the Bible encourages us not to fret because of evildoers. Seems like the wicked people out in the world grow and don't have any trouble or any cares. Kind of reminds me as a kid, I remember the classmates that I had that got away with all kinds of devious intentions. And I did one thing and it seems like I got in trouble every time. It's kind of envious of that. Well, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. But, as the Bible says, it gives us hope, it gives us encouragement to help us realize that one day these people are going to be held accountable for their sins. That's kind of good news, isn't it? That one day soon, the workers of iniquity, the evildoers in this world, will one day finally have to pay for their sins. No wonder the Bible says, encourages us. He said the Bible encourages us not to be concerned about the workers of iniquity because God will take what? Vengeance, he says. It's not our place. Well, that's not what I'm here to talk about today. Verse 2, it says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But the Bible says, verse 3, trust in the what? Trust in the Lord. Wow, those are strong words. You mean, God, I'm supposed to have trust in a world where trust is scarcely seen and where trust many times is broken. What does trust mean? What are those word, that little word there, trust, T-R-U-S-T? What does it mean to us? Well, we took an opportunity to look in the dictionary and to find out its meaning and definition. Trust simply means a firm belief or confidence in the honesty, the integrity, the reliability, or the justice of another person or thing. Those are pretty strong words, isn't it? Trust. Did you catch that? Look it up in your dictionary when you get home today or write it down. Trust is a firm belief or confidence in the honesty, It's a belief in somebody. But it's not just a belief in somebody. It's a belief in their honesty, their integrity, and their reliability. Don't you hate it when people aren't reliable? Oh, it drives me crazy, you know? You show up on time and they show up 20 minutes late. Oh, it drives me crazy. Tell me to meet somewhere and I meet there on time and they're late. It drives me crazy. Reliability. Somebody says they're going to do something. You ask them once. Well, they fail to do it that one time. Well, I'm going to give them a second opportunity. They fail the second time. Well, I'm going to give them that third opportunity. And they fail again, and that fourth time rarely comes. I'll never forget while I was in college, a college student came up to me and asked me to borrow $20 and he'd pay it back, you know, next Monday. I passed that kid all the way through school year, never did get my $20 back. Well, I knew I wouldn't do that again. Reliability, trust. Well, that's just a small thing. Trust, a firm belief or confidence in the honesty, the integrity, the reliability, or justice is a good word today, of another person or thing. How many of us can really put trust in people, as this definition explains here in the dictionary? How many of us can really put trust in honesty and integrity and reliability as well as justice, those four heavy-duty words, in a person? We can find honest people. We can find people with integrity. We can find people that are reliable. We can find people with sound judgment, such as justice. But really, friends, the definition that I come to terms with as I read this morning is that there's only one person that we can trust, and that's God. What do you think today? Is there only one person that we can really honestly trust today? Is there one person in the universe that we can have a belief, a confidence in, an honesty, and an integrity, a reliability, and justice? Sure we can. God proved it to us when he came to this earth. Jesus proved it to us when he was hanging on the cross. God proved it to us that he was willing to go all the way so that humanity can be saved from the terrible blight of sin. Amen? That was proven to us on the cross. We can trust in God. We can rely on God. We can trust in his integrity. We can believe that God is honest. We can believe that God will take care of all things through his justice. And of course, the word trust in simple terms, as it's explained here in the dictionary, it's a reliance upon the person or thing being trusted. Very simple. You rely on somebody that they're going to take care of you. Wow. That's just the common dictionary. Webster's Dictionary from Sam's Club. Cost me $14. Get all this information out of there. Powerful words, right? We can trust in God for these things. Well, this very word here in verse 3 of chapter 37, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Wow. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Wow, that sounds pretty awesome. That sounds pretty confident there. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then he says, if we do these things, if we trust in God, if we do good, we will dwell in the land, and we shall be what? Fed. I know the things that I struggle with today are making sure that there's food on the table for my family and a place to live. Amen? Those are probably the most two important things that we need in our life is shelter and food. Everything else should be secondary, right? Who needs a car? We need somewhere to lay our head, right? Who needs a table? We just need to eat. Who needs a bed? We just need to sleep, you know. Well, what does this verse say if we trust in God? Trusting is believing in the future of somebody that they will take care of my personal needs. Now I know my wife trusts me to a certain degree. She trusts me so far. Sometimes it's about as far as she can throw me, but hopefully it's more than that. But she trusts me. She trusts that I'm going to go out and work. And like what the young man said earlier, when I grow up, I'm going to work. You know, there's jobs everywhere to be found. You know, I just think that sometimes people are just too picky. You know, Taco Bell's hiring right now. If I had to, I'd probably work there. Well, trust. Trust is a belief that God is going to take care of us. Amen? Trust is when we put our faith and our confidence in God, he will bring us into the what? That land. And he's going to feed us. Well, if we look at it in a future context, what land are we thinking of today? What are we thinking of? What land? What's that? The promised land, amen, right? The heavenly home, the heavenly kingdom. And we're promised there that we're going to be what? Fed. Flowing with milk and honey. Wow. Something to think about. It's a belief and a trust that God is going to bring us home. It's like what Mike said this morning. It's kind of a fable sometimes. It's kind of an imagination. Sometimes the reality of it is so far ahead of us that we can't even comprehend, and we wonder if this heavenly place is truly a reality. Well, trust is simply this. It's faith in somebody else. Well, let's look what the Hebrew word is. I'm not going to try to share the definition of the pronunciation of the word. But the word trust here in the Hebrew definition is simply basically the same. It's trust, it's confidence, secure, confident, bold, careless, hope, to trust in, to have confidence, to be confident. Now, I like this, to be bold and to be secure. How many of you like security? How many of you like to know that your things are going to be taken care of in the future? How many of you want to know that you're going to have food in the refrigerator the day after tomorrow? How many of us like to have security? Most of us do. Without security, we wander around this world wondering if there is any hope, wondering if there is any care, wondering if we are going to have hope. And the security gives us confidence and establishes us when a world around us is filled with chaos. Isn't that true? Security gives us hope in time of trouble. When the transmission falls out of your van when you're driving down the freeway, it's nice to know that you have a few thousand dollars in the bank account. It's a little bit of security. Well, our security here today is trusting that God will bring us home. I thought about this for a moment. I looked at the definition and some of the words that I came across. It says, a careless hope. A careless hope? This type of trust is a careless hope. Think about that for a moment. What does careless mean? And it's almost a sense of being frivolous, and careless is carefree. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Hey, I don't care. I don't need to worry, right? Let me try to give you a definition from the Bible. You might want to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Give you kind of an illustration about this carelessness, this careless security. It's kind of interesting, the careless security. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. It's all about who we have our faith and our confidence in. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, the Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy... Oops, I just lost it here. O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Wow, what's the wisest man in the world saying? He's saying, hey, young man, go enjoy life. Enjoy the pleasures of life. Wherever your eyes take you, do it. Enjoy life. And as our latest commentary may say in our world, take life by the horns. Take the bull by the horns, so to speak. Enjoy life. But notice what he says here. And in thy sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into what? Judgment. In other words, it's kind of like this. My parents would say, you know what? You can do whatever you want outside, but just don't pass these borders. Go anywhere you want outside, just don't leave the backyard. There's some responsibility on our side. God is saying, enjoy life. Take life and enjoy it to the fullest. Be careless in the Lord. But remember, your actions are going to be held accountable before God one day. Boy, that puts us into a category that helps us realize that, hey, we can't just be as carefree as we want. We can't go out and enjoy sin. We can't go enjoy the pleasures of sin. But we sure can enjoy life as long as we are in Christ. Amen? How many of you, when you came to the Lord, when you turned from the old way, you found more freedom in Christ than you did when you were in the world? It's ironic, isn't it? Here we are in the world, we think we're enjoying life, we think we're enjoying the pleasures of this world, you know, carefree. You know, whatever the term is in your life, smoking, drinking, partying, whatever it is, the ladies, the men, whatever you had in your life, we're just carefree, enjoying life. But we come to the Lord and we step into His arena, or God should I say, steps into our arena, gives us a little thump on the head with a mallet and wakes us up and helps us to realize that we're really in bondage when we're in those things in the world. It's kind of interesting. Then all of a sudden we come to the Lord and we wake up one day and we realize just how free we really are. Isn't that interesting? Some people call me a legalist. I don't know about you, but I'm probably more free than you are today. I'm not bound up in sin. I'm not bound up with terms of this world, caught up in the pleasures of this world, because God has set me free. Go out and enjoy life. Be careless in the Lord. But remember that God will bring into judgment the things that you do. Well, he goes on here. He says, delight also yourself in the Lord. Verse 4, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Wow. If we trust in God, if we put our faith and reliance upon God, that means that God is going to give us the desires of my heart. I prayed the other day as I walked into the mobile station. And I said, I want you to give me 29 of them lottery tickets over there. Because, Lord, I believe that you're going to help me win on every single one of them. No, really, I didn't do that. But some of us may say, you know, the Lord gives us the desires of our heart, and I want $1 million plopped right in my car at the mobile station. Well, that's probably not a reality. What are the pleasures, the desires of your heart? What are those things that you seek, that you want to find joy in, that you find appreciation in? Friends, God wants to establish us. God wants us to give us hope. God wants us to give us a fulfilled life. For some reason, people have this concept that when I become a Christian, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't go here. I can't do this. I can't watch this. There's nothing I can do. And I've had people ask me for, what do you do? Doesn't sound like too much fun to be a Christian. Oh, man, if you just knew. The God that I serve, he says, if I will trust in him, he will bring the desires of my heart. He will give me the things that I desire. Never forget praying for a wonderful wife, and God gave me that. Pray that God would lead me to a place that I should go to serve Him better. I used to be in the auto mechanics field and left that. God led me step by step. And then I desired to go into the medical field, and God led me away from that. And guess what? Greatest place is being able to stand and share the Word of God. Wow, God gives us the desires of our heart. You mean God wants us to have a fulfilled life? Sure He does. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And here's that word again. Trust also in Him. And what will happen? He shall bring it to pass. Wow, powerful words here today. Trust in the Lord. To rely upon Him. To trust in His reliability. To trust in His justice, to have reliance upon Him. Are you feeling secure in God today? Are you trusting in the Lord today? Are you finding security in your life? Does your life right now maybe feel fractioned or falling apart or in pieces or in shambles? Does your life feel as secure as it could be? If not, maybe it's a trust or a faith issue. Notice what Job had to say here in Job chapter 13, verse 15. Many of you know this. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Bible says, as Job was repeating here, he says, though he slay me, what does he say next? Yet I will do what? I will trust in him. Do you realize what Job is saying here? He's saying, if I trust in God, though God should put me to death, though God would send down a bolt of lightning and hit me right on the forehead, though I should die from natural causes that God designed, though I should die with all these boils and laying here in ashes, I am going to trust in the Lord. Job later on went to say, he says, though my body be destroyed, though my body is put in the grave, though worms do eat my decaying body. Think about that for a moment while you're eating lunch today. Though the worms eat my decaying flesh, though I will be consumed in the ground by worms, I will trust in God. Powerful words to help us realize that God wants to give us a future that's truly out of this world. Amen? There is something more to expect from God than just what we are experiencing today. Death should not fear us, cause us to fear. Loss of our homes, transmissions falling out of our cars. I don't care what. Trust in God that He will bring it to pass. That is security. You can't have security in money. You cannot have security in job. You cannot have security in wealth or home or livelihood. The only true security that we find in this world is having it in God. Read the book of Job. Where did he put his trust? When his wife came up to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Wow, the one thing that Job probably prayed for most was a wonderful wife. To have abundant children, which God blessed him with, and she turns around and curses Job at his face. Wow, the closest person that you would think to trust in turns on you. The only security, the only hope that we can have is by putting it and placing our faith in God. What do you think? Is that a true account today? Feeling secure, I'm just going to read a few verses here. 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, "The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." The calling for the Christian today is not to look around us with perplexity and downfacedness and shrieking the world, but we're to trust in the God implicitly with all our heart. Trusting Him with all your heart. Wow, the responsibility of the church and the church family is to trust in God. Point number three that I'm looking at here today, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Another verse of hope and promise. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. How does this trusting in God work for me today? As people, we always want something. And so today, God gives us something. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says this, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need." Wow, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. This is where trust comes into play. This is where we can have reliance that when we come to God with whatever care, whatever problem, we have a God who is going to identify and to help us in our time of need. That means there's some things in your life that you're not even willing to talk to your wife or your spouse about. There may be things in your life that you're not willing to talk to the pastor or the elder or anybody about. But there's some things that you cannot share with anybody. But you can have faith and confidence today that if you go to the throne of God, if you approach His throne with boldness, entering in saying, "God, I'm a sinner, I'm in need of Your grace." The Bible says God will not refuse. Amen. That is trust. That is security that God will save us from our sins. That is hope. I don't know about you, but I like to take my sins somewhere and leave them. If I didn't have that hope today, what hope would we have? Well, let's move on here. A trust that God will take care of us when we ask. Well, we've been talking a little bit, looking at a little bit of the church and its history, watching Keepers of the Flame. It's amazing how God has been working in this church, or working in His church, so to speak, for the last few centuries or decades. It's amazing how God has been working, and yet we come to today, and we look at our church sometimes, and we say, wow, I'm almost embarrassed to go to church there. What do we do with this situation? Where does trust fit into the situation of God's true church in the last day? Where do we prioritize this? How do we encourage the church people? How do we encourage non-believers and so forth when sometimes we're so overwhelmed with the insecurity and the stability of the local church? Turn with me to Revelation, and I'm just going to breeze through a few verses here. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to start with chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1, he says unto the church of Ephesus, I know your works. And then he goes on and he goes down a little further. And he says in verse 8, unto the angel of Smyrna. And then verse 9, he says, I know your works. Verse 12, he says to the church of Pergamos. And then verse 13, he says, I know your works. Verse 18, to the church of Thyatira, and then he says, verse 19, I know your works. Chapter 3, verse 1, he says, to the church of Sardis, and then the conclusion of that verse, he says, I know your works. And Jesus goes on through the list of each church. Verse 7, to the church of Philadelphia. Verse 8, I know your works. And Jesus moves on down, verse 14, to the church of Laodicea. And then verse 15, I know your works. Friends, who is in charge of the church today? Who is it? It's Jesus, isn't it? If Jesus is in charge of the church, then we have to believe that Jesus is going to save His church. Amen? If Jesus is in charge of the church today, no president, no pastor, no elder is going to bring it down. Because God is in charge of His church. Something to trust in, isn't it? Well, what about our responsibility as Christians as I begin to wrap this up here? Our ultimate responsibility is found in Psalm 62, verse 8. In Psalm 62, verse 8, I think it gives us the ultimate altar call for this message today of trusting in God. Can we trust in God, and what is our responsibility? Psalm 62, verse 8, the Bible reads this. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in Him at what? All times. A trust in Him, a trust in a God that we can have reliance, a trust in a God that He will be reliable, a trust that God will do justice, a trust that God will take care of His people in time of trouble. God is asking you, and He's asking me today, to have trust in Him. To trust in Him, despite what our human hearts may be telling us. Our responsibility is to trust in God. So where are you today? Where is your confidence with the Lord today? Where is your trust in the Lord today? Are you struggling with believing? Are you struggling with confidence? Are you struggling with assurance? I don't know what you're struggling with. The Lord knows your heart. And by all means, you know your heart and what's on it. But God asks us to do one thing. And that is to trust in Him. Why? Because He will never fail us. He will never fail you. That's why He says, trust in Me. When all other people fail, we can trust in God. Trust in God because He never fails. And the people say amen today? God never fails. That's why He asks us to trust in Him. Let's stand for our closing hymn today, number 593.